Bibles with me to John chapter 6. We're starting a brand new series. It's going to be our Easter series. It's called He Is, and we are looking at the seven I Am statements of Jesus. While you're turning there, several years ago, a few of us got to go to India and get to do some ministry with some of our friends over there. And while we were there, we discovered this bread called naan. How many of y'all have had naan bread? All right, I'm not talking about gluten-free. I'm talking about Indian bread, okay? A couple of y'all got that. Thank you. Okay. So naan is this really good flat bread, and when it's warm and fresh, it's just amazing. You just can't get enough of it. And I remember sitting down at the restaurant one time, and the waiter comes up and says, "Would you like naan?" And we said, "Yes." And he said, "Do you want plain or buttered or garlic or cheese?" And we said, "Yes." And he looked at us. I said, "Give us the Noah's Ark special, two of each." He didn't get it because it's not a West. Okay, yeah. But here's the deal. All over the world, bread is essential. Whether it's naan or breadsticks or rolls or biscuits or cornbread or tortillas or even tortilla chips. I mean, bread is just an essential part of a meal, and we just love bread. It satisfies us. It fills us. It even comforts us. Think about being in school and walking by the cafeteria and smelling those rolls when they were doing fresh baked rolls. How many of y'all can remember that? And just looking forward to, bread comforts. So it's no surprise that one of the things Jesus says about himself is that he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He's saying he is what we need. He is essential. He's what people are longing for, even if they don't realize it. Well, like I said, we're kicking off a new series today, looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. And over the next several weeks, even up to Easter, and even a couple weeks after Easter, we're going to be looking at these statements and unpacking them. And the mission at our church is pointing people to Jesus. And I hope by going through this study, by looking at what Jesus says about himself, that we'll get a better understanding of who he is and why we point people to Jesus. Why we do this? It's because only Jesus offers people what they truly need. Only Jesus gives people life and truth and direction. Only Jesus fills people up and satisfies them. And not just in this life, not just temporarily, but for eternity. Only Jesus gives us something that lasts. Not just for this life, but for all eternal. He gives us life that's eternal. So, with that in mind, let's jump into John chapter 6 and look at this first I Am statement of Jesus. We're going to begin in verse 22. So it says, "The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized that Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of approval.' They replied, 'We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?' Jesus told them, 'This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent.' Well, they answered, 'Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' 'Sir,' they said, 'give us this bread every day.' Jesus replied, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" All right, so there's a few things that we can learn from this passage. I think we can learn as we help people see that he really is who they need, that he's all they need, that he's what they've been looking for. And the first thing, if you're following along in your notes, point number one is this, is that people instinctively know to come to God with their needs. People instinctively know to come to God with their needs. And I love this because this is good news for us. As we're trying to point people to Jesus, one of the things that we have on our side is that even if people don't come to church every week, even if people aren't plugged into a connect group here, when they get in a bind, they seem to know to call out to God for help. You know, there's an old saying, there's no atheist in foxholes. And I believe that's true. When people get in a bind, when they get stuck, when they're up against the wall, they instinctively know that they can call out to God, that they can pray. Even if they're not sure about, you know, what faith even is, they know they can call to God. They can turn to God with their needs. And that's what's going on in this story. These people come looking for Jesus. The day before, what we read in this passage, Jesus had been teaching this large crowd of people. We know it was at least 5,000. It was probably closer to 10 or 12, maybe 15,000 people, but they only counted the dudes in the crowd. So we know there's at least 5,000. And it got to be about dinner time, and nobody had anything to eat. And so Jesus did one of his more famous miracles. He fed the 5,000. He actually fed the whole crowd, but it's called the feeding of the 5,000. And so he fed the whole crowd of people, 5,000 or more, with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And so then he and the disciples, they head over to the other side of the lake, and the crowd of people, the next day, they catch up to him. And you can tell by what Jesus said that they're looking for another free meal. Like, hey, we had fish sandwiches yesterday. We'd like to have, you know, biscuits and gravy this morning, you know. And so Jesus, listen to what he says to him. He says, I tell you the truth. This is verse 26 and 27. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me his seal of approval. So all throughout this story, and we don't have time to do all of John chapter 6, but all throughout John chapter 6, there's this back and forth between Jesus and the crowd where he's trying to open their eyes to eternal life, but all they can think about is their stomachs. The crowd comes seeking temporary satisfaction, but Jesus is offering eternal life. He's offering eternal filling, something much greater, something much more lasting. And they couldn't see that, and that's the sad part of this story, is many of them go away missing out on what Jesus was offering. But here's the cool part of the story. Here's what I'm encouraged by. The cool part of the story is that when they had a need, where do they turn? They turn to Jesus. In fact, that's one of the common threads throughout the Gospels. You will see people who don't yet believe in Jesus when they have a need, when someone in their family is sick, even there's a couple stories where someone is dead, they instinctively come to Jesus and say, we think you can do something. And when people have a need today, they still turn to God. And that should encourage us. That's something that should encourage you and I today, that when people have a need, they are open. There is an openness to Jesus. You know, one of the things that we shared this last week with our Connect groups. We're starting this thing where we're doing door hangers throughout all of our neighborhoods. How many of y'all talked about that in your Connect group either last week or this week? Good deal. So we have over 1,500 homes just in this one square mile called Terra del Sol. So from 22nd Street to Golf Links, from Kolb to Wilmot, 1,500 homes. I think it's actually like 1,550. And so we have divided those up into sections. We've asked each Connect group to take a section and to prayer walk those streets and to leave a door hanger on each door that says, we prayed for you today. And on the back of that door hanger is a little QR code to a website where they can share a prayer request that they have. Now, we believe we're going to get some responses out of this. We believe people are going to see this and they're going to be thankful that somebody prayed. We believe we're going to get some prayer requests. We might even get some people who come to church. But more than anything, we want people to know that when they have a need, they can turn to Jesus. And we want to be a part of helping them get to Jesus. Amen? And so this is just one way that we can do that. My goal, my hope, is that we get this done before Easter. If you do, that's great. If your Connect group gets them all done before Easter, great. If not, keep doing it. It just gets hotter after Easter, so there's a little incentive. Now, when people do turn to Jesus, that's good news, but we need to help them with this second thing. We need to keep this second thing in mind. Number two is this. People often come to God with spiritual baggage. People often come to God with spiritual baggage. They come to God with their own idea of like who God is and how things work with them. And we see that here in this story as we continue reading verse 28 and 29 of John chapter 6. The people replied, the crowd replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you is to believe in the one he had sent. Jesus just told the crowd that they should spend their energy on what lasts. The NIV, the New International Version, says, Jesus says they should work for eternal food. So this crowd hearing this and being Jews and coming up with a, you know, coming from an Old Testament teaching background, they would have heard this, this mindset of if you do good works, if you do good things, God will reward you. And if you don't, if you do bad things, then God will punish you. And so they ask what works they need to do to get this eternal food that Jesus is talking about. And so they're just coming into this conversation with their own spiritual baggage. They're coming with their own, they've been brought up and taught, you know, if you do good things, God will reward you, and you know, et cetera. And so Jesus says, look, the only thing they have to do is believe in him. You know, everyone that you and I talk to, when we're trying to point people to Jesus, everyone we talk to is coming into the conversation with some kind of spiritual background. Matter of fact, that's a great way to begin a conversation with them about Jesus, is just to ask, hey, do you have any spiritual beliefs or do you have any spiritual background? You just ask them where they're coming from so you know what you're dealing with. You know, even if they say they don't believe in anything, even if they say they're an atheist, they still believe in something. They believe in believing in nothing, right? I mean, that's really what atheism is I believe in not believing. Then that is, it takes faith to be an atheist. It actually takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian. But, you know, everybody comes into a God conversation with some kind of spiritual baggage, something they're bringing into the conversation about God, about faith in Jesus. And we get to help them with that baggage. We get to be the people that help them deal. And one of the big things we can do is we can help them move from do to done. There on your paper, if you are writing on your paper, just write the word do, D-O. Just write the word do. Every religion except for Christianity, every belief system, just about every belief system, says that in order for you to get in good with God or whatever gods, little g gods you believe in, you have to do certain things. There's certain rules you have to follow, certain acts you have to do, certain things that you have to obey. And the problem with that is you never know, did I do enough? You're always wondering, is there more I should do? But Christianity is different. Next to that word do, after the O, I want you to write two letters. Write the letter N and write the letter E. And that changes the word do to what? Done. And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, I've done everything. His words were what? It is almost complete? No. It is what? Finished. It's done. Jesus has done it all. Jesus has paid it all. And when we get to talk to people about Jesus, we get to help them with that spiritual baggage of, what do I have to do in order to earn God's favor? You know, what do I have to do? Is there more I should be doing? You say, no, it's already been what? Done. Jesus has done it all. The only thing you have to do is believe that you can't do anything and that Jesus already did it. Amen? Now, when you get to take that baggage off of people, man, that's a huge weight, but it can be a little tricky because of this third thing. Number three, people need to move from knowledge about God to belief in Jesus. And there's a big difference. One of the biggest challenges I come up against is when I'm trying to help somebody get to a place where they've placed their faith in Jesus, is when it's not when someone is, you know, anti-God or closed off to God or they're just a hardcore atheist. It's when they have a little bit of knowledge about God and they think, oh, I'm okay. You know, I know about God. My grandma went to church. My dad went to church. You know, my sister goes to church, or my wife goes to church, or whatever. It's when they have a little bit of knowledge about God. And that's what Jesus is dealing with here in these next few verses, verses 30 to 35. So the crowd answers Jesus, well, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day. So their minds are still thinking about bread, physical bread, you know. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So back in verse 29, Jesus told them that all they had to do was believe. And what was their response? Why? Why should we believe in you? Prove it. Prove that you're worth believing in, you know? Prove that you're from God. Prove that you're the Messiah we've been waiting on by giving us bread like Moses did. So what's going on here is they're demonstrating a little bit of knowledge about God, a little bit of Old Testament knowledge. You know, there was a strong belief at the time that the Messiah would do what Moses did. One of the big things that happened during Moses' time, we talked about it several weeks ago, was the manna that people got to eat like every single day. And that was a big, big deal. And the giving of manna in the wilderness was one of the big things during Moses' leadership. And so surely the teaching of the time was surely the Messiah would do the same thing even more. And that's really not a biblical teaching as much as it is more of a traditional mindset among the Jews. Well, there's a couple of problems. First, the people completely ignore what Jesus did the day before. You know, they're like, well, why don't you show us? Why don't you feed us? And I can just imagine Jesus thinking, hello, where were you yesterday? You know, got the Filet-O-Fish sandwich and everything, you know. So, you know, he's like, remember what just happened? That's the first problem. The second is they have some knowledge about God, but it's wrong. Remember, they hear they say Moses gave us food to eat. Moses gave our ancestors food to eat. What are you going to do? Jesus correct them, says it wasn't Moses. It wasn't Moses. It was God. It was my Father. And he says, he goes on, he says, and it's God who offers them bread right now. This is where Jesus makes his first of the seven I am statements. Verse 35, listen again. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You're looking for bread to fill you. Jesus says, he is what you're looking for. He is who you've been waiting for. He is the one who fills and satisfies. He is the one who is everything they're hungry for. If they will just believe in him, they'll find everything they've been wanting. Guys, our mission is simple. What is it? Three words. It's there in your outline. I've said it a few times already. What's our mission here at our church? Let's try that again. Pointing people to Jesus. That's what we're all about. That's what I want to be about. That's what I hope you want to be about. When people say, what's your church about? You say? Okay, hopefully you don't say it like you're, you know, sick and dying. Let's try it like it's good news. And people say, hey, what's your church all about? There you go. What's your pastor going to preach about? If I come to your church and I get involved and I get saved and I get plugged in, what's expected of me? There you go. All right. Cool. Do y'all believe that? Good. All right. The reason that we point people to Jesus is because in Jesus, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, if there's been a time in your life where you have placed your faith in Jesus, then you have found everything in life that you've ever been looking for. You found that in him. And we point people to Jesus because we want them to get what we've got. We want them to have the hope and the joy and the peace and the love and the fulfillment and the meaning and the direction and the truth and the life that we have found in Jesus. And so we point people to Jesus. He's life. He's the one who gives new life. He's the one who gives people eternal life. And so we help people move from just knowing about God to entering into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Because when you believe in Jesus, that's what happens. You go from just knowing about God to actually knowing him personally. You get to go into that relationship with him. And that's when everything changes. As our worship team comes up, I want to close with this story before we get ready to do communion after our response song. When Bridget and I first started dating, it wasn't long before I knew she was the one. I'm sure she knew much earlier than I, but not really. But it wasn't long before I knew she was the one. But I didn't want to freak her out. I didn't want to scare her off. But I really wanted to tell her that I knew. And so at the end of the date one night, if we weren't dating very long, maybe a month or two at the most, but I didn't want to say, I love you. So instead, I just said, 1-4-3. And she looked at me kind of funny, like, what? And I just walked off. Now, I knew that 1-4-3 is the letters in the for the words, I love you. She didn't know that right then. And so this went on for a few weeks, maybe a month, maybe longer. And every now and then I would just say, I would end our date, you know, with a kiss. And come on. And I would say, 1-4-3. And then one night when the date was over and I was about to leave, before I could say 1-4-3, she said, 2. And that's when everything changed. That's when everything changed in our relationship. Yeah. Me saying, I love you, and her responding, I love you too, completely changed from us knowing about each other to us being in relationship, a loving relationship. In a little bit, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and this is a time for you and I to remember God's great I love you. The greatest I love you ever. The greatest expression, the most clear expression of God's love to us through his son Jesus, who died on the cross and was resurrected from the grave to pay the penalty of our sins and to make it possible for us to enter into a relationship with him. It's a time as we have Lord's Supper to remember Christ's sacrifice. It's a time for us to reflect on our own lives and to repent of any sins or any selfishness or any stubbornness or stupidness on our part, any way that we've strayed from walking with him. And it's also a time for us to recommit ourselves to helping others come to know his love like we do. And so, as we get ready to sing this response song, I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer so that we can prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And you need to just let God examine you and see where you need to respond to him. Will you join with me in prayer? Father, as we come into this time, Lord, we remember that the Lord's Supper is a time for all who are saved, for all who have placed their faith in Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would call people to salvation right now. If that's you, if you're not a believer yet, if there's never been a time in your life where you have placed your faith in Jesus, now is the time for you to do that. Why would you wait? Call out to him and say, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I need new life. I need eternal life. Jesus, I love you. The Bible says if you call out to him, to all who place their faith in Jesus, he gives them the right to be called the sons of God, the children of God. Have you done that? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? As we just continue in this time of prayer, the Lord's Supper is for all who are saved, but it's also for all who are walking in right relationship with God and with others. Would you just ask yourself right now, are things right with you and God? Is there some sin he's calling you to repent of? Is there some step of faith he's leading you to take? Is there anything you need to get right with someone else, another brother or sister in Christ? Some relationship you need to repair or restore? Listen, when things aren't right with us and others, they're not right with us and God. That's one of the things we need to do before we partake of the Lord's Supper. If you're a believer, make sure you are in right relationship with God and others. Finally, the Lord's Supper is a time for us to recommit to telling others about Jesus. Is there someone you need to tell about Jesus? Would you just pray right now, say, Lord, help me reach blank for Christ. Lord, help me point blank to Jesus. Is there someone you need to help move from knowing about God to knowing him, loving him? Will you commit today to be that person in their life? Heavenly Father, I pray as we get ready to sing this response song, you just continue working on our hearts. Continue to prepare us to partake of the Lord's Supper. Be honored and glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing?